I know. Oh, 7:30. See, you know what? It's just this is just a God thing. I mentioned a little bit last night that I did radio for 10 years, and I was a morning DJ with WNRK in Newark, Delaware, and it was such a fun time for my early life before I had to dye my hair every 3 weeks. But as I look back, I think of the clock, and when I look at the clock, I think my whole life was literally by the clock, and we're going to talk about just a tiny little word that really irritates me, and it's called legalism. And it's a very, very disparaging word to people in the world as well as people in the church. So we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about that today and tomorrow. Is that all right during the morning thing? Now, that sounds like a downer, but let me just say to you, if you're free in Christ, that doesn't mean that we walk around like, you know, doing whatever we want. Of course, there's amazing concepts of following Christ, and as even Cynthia said last night, when we put his hand in ours, or put our hand in his, it's such freedom. So what we're going to talk just a little bit about, just something for you to think about during the next couple of days, is how being free of legalism is going to free you up forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power, your glory, and the fact that women can get up this early when they're away from home. It's amazing, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just going to read you one of my blogs. It's real short, but this is the only reason I'm going to read it is because, you know, my brain doesn't work as great as it used to, so I don't make sure I say it right. But this one blog I did called Pull Over and Abide by the Rules. Pull Over, P-O-O-L. Pull Over and Abide by the Rules. Whatever. Anyway, because I'm on the road 150 events a year, probably, or more, depending on where I'm coming and going from, hotel rules and ticky-tack regulations cause me to be quite irritated sometimes. I know that they have to jump through all kinds of hoops and regulations to please both city and state. Some of their policies operate on the side of caution. I know all of this. So when you walk into a hotel and you check in, especially a well-known chain hotel, and receive the following notice, verbatim, it's attached to my key sleeve with a rubber band wrapped around it. And here's what it said. In accordance with our state's health department regulations for your safety, it's important that you be aware of our pool regulations. I haven't even checked in yet. They're already telling me what to do. There is no lifeguard on duty. Don't swim alone. There is no substitute for adequate supervision. Children under 16 must be accompanied by an adult or guardian. In an emergency, pick up pool area phone, dial number 9, there's no alcohol allowed, no glass around the pool, no running, no diving, no horseplay, and please swim at your own risk. So the gal at the front desk says, I have to sign a form stating, while I'm checking in, that I have to read these pool regulations aloud to her. I know, they had a lawsuit, is right. I will abide by them. So I'm laughing to myself and thinking, this is not a problem. You see, it's March. And it's 22 degrees outside, and it's in New York. For crying out, I'm like having a fit. Save it for summer. Why do I have to sign this thing now? So I read a passage in Proverbs 31, 25, 26. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. So maybe now the age-old ice is melting on the pool and I'm ready for an Arctic swim today. I don't know. No running or diving, mind you, but you can bet there'll be some horseplay because I'm Sue Duffield, and if you know me, there's horseplay everywhere I go. That's just who I am. Pull the icy tarp off. I'm ready for a plunge. So maybe the next day I check out of the hotel and I smile at the manager and I just happen to mention, you know, I think it was really hilarious. You made me sign all this stuff. It was a good laugh over your rules and mandatory agreement for your pool, especially when it's, you know, 2 degrees out this morning. He laughed at me and put his head back and said, well, you were aware that we have an indoor pool. So So silenced, I dropped my head and I said, yes, I laughed out loud, of course, of fear of the future, knowing that one day I would tell you this story. When she speaks, her words are wise. And when exactly does this happen? I don't know. Swim and speak at your own risk, I say to myself. I surely do need adequate supervision. The rules didn't really apply to me, even though I still had to sign a statement, because for some reason, I'm thinking, as I pulled into the hotel, I see the outdoor pool with 17 inches of snow around it and ice about this thick. And I'm like in total frustration. Why would they make me sign all of this when it's 2 degrees out? Not realizing that they also have an indoor pool. But that didn't say that on the little thing. In Luke chapter 13, and if you've got a Bible, this is a devotion time, so it's going to be more interactive than it's going to be just me talking to you. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13, my favorite, absolute favorite chapter. Of course, I love Luke anyway, but this particular passage, Luke chapter 13, 10 through 35, is one of my favorite stories. And in Scripture, this is the only time that this woman is mentioned. She's not mentioned in any of the other Gospels. So it kind of gets my attention when it's only mentioned once in the Scriptures. I'm this type of a Bible study believer. If God says it 150 times, I'm there, because I want to know why. But I'm also very curious when God only allows it to say once. So it gets my attention. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over, couldn't straight up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Can you say amen to that? Boy, that's for us today. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, you know, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Verse 15 of Luke 13 says, the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it to water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, say that with me, a daughter of Abraham, that's the only time, the very first time in Scripture in the New Testament where a woman is called a daughter of Abraham. We need to pay attention to that. Whom should not this woman that Satan has kept bound for 18 long years be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Verse 17 says, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. So this is the walk that would forever change this daughter of Abraham's life. Her walk with the Scriptures, her walk with discipline and devotion became literally the living walk of her life and healing her body. How many of you have ever gone to church where you have physically not been well? Okay, so in this generation, the norm is if you don't feel good on Sunday morning, you just stay home. But when I was a kid growing up in a very, very archaic gospel house, I would have to have my arms cut off. I would have to have a fever of 150 before my mother would say, get dressed, you're going to church. It was a different culture now. In fact, if you were sick, we'd go to church because we would have the elders of the church and pray, as Scripture says, and lay hands on you because you came to church because you were sick. Now we think we have to go to church because we have to be all that. You know, we have to be perfectly well. Well, let me ask you this question. We don't know about this daughter of Abraham. We don't know too much about her past, but my guess is this. Her body may have been bent and broken, where she was in a kyphosis state. An kyphosis state basically is when you start with a kyphotic kind of way where you continually to bend over, and there's a good chance that this woman has had this happen in such a gradual descending order that she became invisible to her own congregation. maybe years ago she started out with a little bit of a bent, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe she had a divorce in her house, or maybe, you know, her car didn't work one day, or she found out she had cancer, or actually she found out one day that her oldest son is not serving God. Or maybe there was another example where in her body she just became so overwhelmed with the pressure of trying to do the right stuff, or maybe not being able to go to Sandy Cove because it was going to snow. She was just all, so over a period of time, it was this gradual kyphotic state where suddenly something happens different in that synagogue that day. There's a special speaker. And I love this. Women are challenged more than ever to go beyond what they see or hear to what they believe in their spiritual walk. Her body may have been in a kyphotic state. Her vision, however, may have been in a kyphotic state. Because when you're bent over, what do you see? You see the floor, you see the ground. However, here's my, I love this part. It says, but her hearing was perfect. My mother had severe rheumatoid arthritis to a point where she didn't bend over, but there was just so much pain in her body in her last several years that she would just basically be, you know, kind of just in a very weakened state. But my mother's hearing was never impaired because she absolutely, to the day she died, lived for Christ. And she was wanting so much to be an example. Now, bodily, she wasn't, you know, what we'd like her to be. We had her prayed for, anointed with oil, all kinds of great doctors from Cherry Hill to Johns Hopkins, you name it. And so it wasn't about the fact that we weren't caring for her. We were caring for her. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my mother's hearing was perfect. My mother's infirmities consumed her. And I don't know if you came this weekend with infirmities on your back. So much, though, that you could only see the ground when you walked in. I have a friend of mine. She pays attention to carpets everywhere she goes. She'll tell me. She'll send me little pictures. Look at this. This is Minneapolis's airport new carpet. Look at that. So she's always, she'd be intrigued. She'd be very confused with this, though, because she'd be going, oh, wait a minute, it goes this way. Oh, well, then it goes that way. She's always looking at carpet. I don't pay attention to carpet. I don't know why. It's just not, I'm always looking ahead or I'm always looking up. I never hardly look down. If your body has been broken and your vision impaired by limitations, can I just say to you, open up your ears. Open up your ears. Sometimes you just have to do this blindly, like that daughter of Abraham who was bent over that morning going to church. Sometimes, as a mom or a young mom, raise your hand if you're a young mom. If you're under the age of 58, you are a young mom. Sometimes you have to make an unpopular familial decision to do what is right for your kids, or to be hesitant maybe a little bit sometimes, but to offer suggestions to your grandchildren. And sometimes you have to weigh the checks and balances of juggling sports programs and youth groups and Bible studies and date night and finances and vacations with in-laws and saying no to overtime when your body is screaming, take care of me. That's what you did this week when you made a choice. You decided, okay, I'm taking care of me this weekend. That is not a selfish proposal. That is something that we need as women of faith to say, God, I'm willing, because when I'm a better me, I can serve you and I can hear you better. Sometimes that's basically it. It's a holistic way. It's a decision. And sometimes it's old-fashioned. I know I try to look hip, you know, like I say, but, you know, I'm as old can be. I know, but by honoring the Sabbath, I can't lay in bed on a Sunday morning, even if I'm not on the road. I mean, if I got in at 4 o'clock in the morning after flying in from Houston, I'm dressed by 8 o'clock to get ready to go to church. It's just in my legalistic, almost said butt there, but you didn't hear that, did you? I know, but honoring the Sabbath, intentional things have a way of healing. And it's called putting Christ first in everything you do. And sometimes I ask, I don't know if you do this, sometimes I say, what would my grandmother do? Do you ever do that? If you had a really, I do that a lot. So Luke 13, verse 12 says, she was bent over. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she stood up. But he called her out first. In other words, he called her out when he saw her. And I love that. There's a whole different devotion on that one, where Jesus saw her. She didn't see him, but he saw her. I hope that you'll think about that today. I like to think that she was in the right place to be upright. Healed because she just showed up. First-timers, you've never been to Sandy Cove. This, my friend, is a sacred place. I've been coming here since 1971. I came here as a teenager when they had all the fun stuff going on, and I came here as a young adult leading hymns for some old-timers that I used to make fun of, and now I've become one of those. I came here during a time when there was such a, you know, worship war fight going on. Do we sing contemporary hymns or do we sing the church songs? We don't know. But there was like an amazing, you know, transition of watching how God would use people to just, you know, get out of that framework of legalism and thinking, hey, you know what? We need to broaden our horizons and let women come who are in a kyphotic state. We have no idea where you've come from. We don't even know what you're being taught in your churches. But for here and for this weekend, Jesus is who we're listening to. Praise his name. So, are you in the right place to be upright today? I hope so. But this created a stir, and you'll find out as we read, you know, Luke 12, 14, Jesus becomes very indignant because, of course, the spiritual leaders of the synagogue and those who carry all of the weight of the rules are very upset that Jesus did something on the Sabbath, and that was called healing. And to them, it looked like work. This is work. This is all they're taught. I have a friend of mine. His name is Rabbi Dale Cohen. He's a Messianic rabbi. He loves Jesus with all of his heart. I don't speak on anything until I run it by him. And I said to him, Dale, can I say this? He said, what are you going to say? This is a man who has studied scriptures 18 hours a day for all of his life. And I said, is it true when I read this that the leaders, we really can't criticize because that's all they knew? He said, that's right. We're so hard sometimes on the ones who do give us rules. I was tough on that hotel manager. What do you mean I got to sign this thing? Don't you see outside that there's a tarp on the pool and it's 2 degrees? And then she says the next day, oh, we have an indoor pool. I didn't know that. So there are a lot of times rules and regulations in its context are given for our protection. If you ever read the book called None of These Diseases, go back and look that book up. It's an amazing protection book of how we're to care for our bodies in a biblical perspective. It was written in, you know, the 1300s, I think. No, not really. But it was written so long ago, and it's so out of style. But guess what? God's word is always true, and it still comes back. So self-made traditions, legalisms, regulations, in this particular thing, superseded a divine intervention. Wow. You see, that's what the church does a lot of times. We want to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. That's what the church does, and that's okay. I need the church. You need the church. But that's really not what Jesus is about. I mentioned at a retreat that I spoke for in Pennsylvania that I couldn't even buy candy cigarettes when I was a kid. Think about that for a minute. I remember I got one of the worst beatings of my life because I bought a pack of candy cigarettes. My mother said, don't you know what that will represent when you get older? And so so I told this group, and that during their break, like we're going to have this afternoon, they all went out to Walmart and they bought candy cigarettes. So I went up on the platform, and when I turned around to start the service, I looked out and they're all going. It was, it was my favorite thing. So the daughter of Abraham hears the pronouncement of her healing before she's healed. I love this. Hearing first, then doing. Say that. Hearing first, then doing. Then he put his hands on her. Walking with vision takes hearing, studying, and paying attention to the voice of God long before your healing of whatever you need takes place. This is what I heard in this passage. Luke, she heard the pronouncement of her healing before. Now, we get into a little bit of a detail here, but let me just say, I have a friend who went to Switzerland with her husband on a 50th anniversary trip. She fell on a Saturday, broke her elbow. They were in a remote little village. They found, finally, this little tiny hospital. She's in severe pain. And she goes to the hospital, and this is what they tell her. Well, we're going to give you medication. We're going to put your arm in a sling. But you're going to have to come back Wednesday, because we only set bones on Wednesday. This woman had to go Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before they could set her bone. Anybody in the medical profession, when you have 5 days that goes by, guess what they had to do on Wednesday when she did go back? They had to re-break her bone again in order to set it. This reminds me of legalism a little bit, you know, where, come back. It's not appropriate that you be healed today. Come back on Wednesday. Because we want to do everything that's right. And the religious leaders, the Sabbath was reserved for tradition and rules and regulation. It's a gift from God. It really is. Luke introduces a tender God and a tender Messiah in this passage. A God who sets apart legalism for compassion. That's what Jesus does. But here's my friend, my favorite line. It's the last one before we go to breakfast. Jesus not only healed on the Sabbath, Jesus is the Sabbath, and he can do whatever he wants. So don't get caught up in this ramification that everything has to be such and such, or it has to go a certain way. Jesus in that day not only healed on the Sabbath, Jesus is the Sabbath. And Colossians 2, in closing, 6 through 8. I love this scripture. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He is the plumb line. He's the reason that we gathered here this weekend. I know that there are a lot of women that come to weekends like this that don't know the Lord. They come with their friends. They're coming expecting something. So you know what I want to do right now? Just bow your heads with me. If you have never accepted Jesus into your life, we don't have to wait to the evening session. We don't have to wait to the second session. We can do it at the very beginning of the day as we had the walk of faith into the Chesapeake room this morning. Maybe you came in a kyphosis state. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now saying, I can be healed because Jesus hears me. I hear him. And Father, I give my life to you. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, my friend, today is your Sabbath. And God, I ask you in Jesus' name, as we pray together, let's pray this together. Father, I ask you to forgive my sins and help me to walk this walk of faith, that I may be a hearer and a doer, and to realize I am nothing without you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's women said, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a good lunch. Or what do we have? Breakfast first. That's right. But don't be legal about it.